Welcome to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes. Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 14, verses 13 through 23. Let us therefore no longer pass judgment on one another, but resolve instead never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of another. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. If your brother or sister is being injured by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. Do not let what you eat cause the ruin of one for whom Christ died. So do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The one who thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and has human approval. Let us then pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean. But it is wrong for you to make others fall by what you eat. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that makes your brother or sister stumble. The faith that you have as your own conviction before God. Blessed are those who have no reason to condemn themselves because of what they approve, but those who have doubts are condemned if they eat because they do not act from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. This is the gift of Scripture for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
As we move into the next generation in our worship series, I'd like to remind everyone that the reason we are exploring the generations is because of perspective. We all have different perspectives. We see things, the same thing, from many different ways. As I was entering my last class of seminary, I had senioritis bad. One class, that's all I had to accomplish, and I was done. But it was church administration. From my perspective, maybe you have different perspectives, but church administration was not necessarily how I wanted to finish out my seminary career. But the good news was it was taught by our seminary president, who is a gifted speaker, brilliant man, genius, I would say. And so he opened the conversation on our first day of class with a statement, "I have good news. You are all going to live to maybe 120 years of age." Well, of course, that gets our attention. And he goes on to describe the fact that he has been doing research, and as a seminary professor, he feels the most important research he can do is to teach him how to prepare generations of pastors to lead churches. And he says, all of the evidence points to the fact that we are moving into a time when we are going to be not just older, but healthy, long beyond what anybody ever dreamed of as an average age or life expectancy. He said there will come a time when the people that he is teaching, looking at our class, he says there will come a time when your class will be teaching churches, leading churches of six and seven generations. So the focus of this church administration class is going to be on conflict resolution. Can you imagine six or seven generational perspectives on every issue? Calls for the ability to listen and share and accept and be shaped and be molded by perspectives that are very different from our own. And this is probably the first time many people here are hearing the idea that our average life expectancy might approach 120 years of age. I'd like to show you some of the research that I've been doing on it as well. Ryan, if you give us that first slide. On the left is what the current life expectancy is for people who are 65 years of age. Approaching 90 years for women. That's the average. Average life expectancy. The next chart is even more important because we aren't just getting older the same way we've always gotten older. We're getting older and we're healthier. We are aging younger, if that makes sense. People who are 85 now are doing things that 60-year-olds a generation ago could never imagine doing. And the next slide gives an indication of what that looks like from a disability standpoint. Disabilities are slowly fading from the lives of our older generations. With each year that goes by, less and less people are affected by disabilities. Alzheimer's is getting very close to being cured. And the final chart gives an indication of the challenge the U.S. Census Bureau has over trying to figure out what life expectancies are. The bottom graph shows how many people will be living in America over the age of 85 in the year 2040 if the life expectancies don't measure up to what the potential looks like. There could be 7 million Americans in the year 2040 over age 85, or there could be 20 million Americans. We are moving so fast technologically wise, science wise, medicine wise, the U.S. Census Bureau has no idea how to measure what life expectancy is now. There's an article written this past week, just a few days ago, January 17th, in the Telegraph UK. The unthinkable is within sight. Those born today have a chance of living to 150, and lifespans of 120 years may well be the norm. We are not talking about something ridiculously ambitious or unrealistic or visionary, said Dr. Elizabeth Blackburn, who won the Nobel Prize in 2009 for research on telomeres and the genetics of aging. Telomeres are the end of the chromosome, and she has discovered that we can stop the degeneration at the ends of the chromosome, which will change the way our bodies age. The great hope is that we can stop degeneration setting in through advances in molecular science. Dr. Blackburn, who now heads the Salk Institute in California, said, "We used to think that many diseases of old age were inexorable fate. But this may not, in fact, be the case. If you look at centenarians, they don't die from common diseases. They don't die from heart attacks or strokes. They don't die from cancer or diabetes. They mystify physicians. It looks like they die of system failure. And we are learning how to stop that system failure." She said this at the World Economic Forum in Davos. A study by Linda Grattan of the London Business School found that even if we live to just 100, our lives will be radically different. If you want to retire with 50% of your income, and most of us do, you'll be working until you are 80 or 82, she said. The UK is still saying that a child born today will live to 85, but this is obviously ridiculous. We will have to keep learning new things and reinventing ourselves, and third and fourth careers will be common. No easy task when technology is advancing by leaps and bounds, says Linda Grattan. The good news is, if we had to have one generation that could handle the changes, it'd be the baby boomer generation. The generation that changed the world, that said we are not going to live the same way that our parents lived, and we are going to do everything differently, and we will reinvent ourselves. Well, now, for the boomers that are here, those born before 1962, between 1944 and 1962, we are all looking to you for guidance and modeling on how to move into the next stage of life. Because children watch their parents. Grandchildren watch their parents and grandparents. And as Sadie was saying, we are always being observed. Everything we do and say is being observed. And we can choose to have it our way. Or we can choose to live into the next stage of life with love and peace and hope and compassion. So baby boomers, you invented midlife crisis. And I'm not making that up. Actually, Sigmund Freud is the first person to coin that term, but it was his students in the 50s and 60s that really started to explore what a midlife crisis was. And I'm sure many of you discovered that the Corvette convertible didn't fill the hole. Trans Am, I tried with a Mustang, and it only lasted for so long, and realized that the hole was still there. If we are going to be healthy, living to 100, 120 years old, it isn't going to be filling the hole in our life with things. It is going to be filling the hole in our life with God. It's the only way that we can live healthy and happy. The challenge that we face now, the challenge that all human beings have faced up until this generation, was wondering why life is short and brutal and hard. The challenge our generations have today is discovering meaning in life that is longer than anyone ever imagined it would be. There are perspectives that the boomer generation has to deal with, perspectives from Generation X that says, you guys are going to suck Social Security dry and leave nothing for us. There's perspectives from boomers that say, I'm going to outlive my retirement savings. I want to change the perspective today a little bit, because all of the perspective that I hear when I talk about longevity is negative. It's about finances. It's about money. It's about things. There needs to be more conversation about opportunity instead of the costs of older people. This is rarely noticed in Washington, where the discussion about aging centers around the merits and troubles of Social Security and Medicare, says Jody Holtzman, the AARP's Senior Vice President of Thought Leadership. University of California, Berkeley's Charlack is confident that baby boomers can gild their golden years and offer a model for future generations. The leading edge of the boomers grew up in post-World War II years when everything was possible. I'm actually optimistic, Charlack adds. A lot of people don't want to grow old the way their parents did. So the generation that reinvented itself, the generation that had to deal with midlife crisis, is now the generation for the first time that's really living through retirement crisis. What do I do now that I have all of this energy and ambition and my identity is no longer tied to a job? How many people do you know that self-identify by their job? But that's not who you are. You are a beloved child of God, not a manager, not an employee, not a director. Because when the job goes away, you'll just be left telling people about what you used to be. And that's no way to live. But there's a golden opportunity to live into and invent, to be entrepreneurs for the rest of your life, teaching people what it's like to move into unexplored territory, what it's like to be 80 and 90 years old or 100 years old and going on mission trips and building houses like Velma Clemens, who's 82 years old, is in Mexico moving cinder blocks. You know, a woman who says, I'm not going to let anything slow me down. This is what it means to live as a Christian. In our scripture today, Paul offers us a metaphor. Now, Paul says, don't let what you eat damage somebody else's faith. But he's not talking just about food. Let me read from a little different perspective, my own translation. Do not let what you do cause the ruin of one for whom Christ died. So do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not your personal ideals, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let us then pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not, for the sake of personal ideals, destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean. Or maybe we could say from our own personal perspective, don't let the work of Christ be destroyed. Everything is indeed clean, depending upon how you look at it. But it is wrong for you to make others fall by what you do, how you behave, or what you say. In a moment, Ken will be offering us an iconic song. Ken and the band will be offering us an iconic song for the boomer generation. 1971, Marvin Gaye wrote and released What's Going On. And it spoke to a generation in powerful, powerful way. Ranked as number 15 on the list of most influential songs of the past 40 years. Marvin writes, "Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. Now, if we use that metaphorically, anger, fighting, discussions over who's right or who's wrong, because of my perspective, are not the answer. For only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in here today. Father, Father, everybody thinks we're wrong. Oh, but who are they to judge us simply because our hair is long? Oh, you know we've got to find a way to bring some understanding here today." Ryan, would you put that last slide up, please? This is some statements from Glennon Doyle Melton, who quotes, "Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle," and then she adds, "including you." And as a pastor, if there's one truth that I've discovered, is that every single person that I meet is wearing masks that hide the pain and challenges of life they don't want revealed. Everybody you see is fighting a hard battle. And Glennon says, "I've never made a friend by bragging about my strength, but I've made countless by sharing my weakness, my emptiness, and my life as a wild goose chase to find the unfindable. Holes in our lives are good for making friends. And friends are the best hole fillers I've found yet, maybe because other people are the closest we get to God on this side. So when we use them to find God in each other, we become holy." In a moment, I'm going to let you see a video from Glennon speaking about her life and her perspectives, and she doesn't pull any punches. I hope you enjoy what she has to say, because she challenges us. She challenges us all to get off of the wall and stop judging other people. Kick off our shoes and get involved in the dance. Because there's two ways to view, two perspectives to view engaging in life. One is, everybody's watching me, and I'm afraid of how they're going to judge me. Well, that's no way to go through life. The other way is to say, everybody's watching you, so I'm going to give them something really good to look at.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.